Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. And for the past week, if you haven't caught the past shows, we've been talking about this new formation of the Mormon Defense League, which is being put together by the Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research and LDS Apologetics Group, mainly to respond to what they believe are misconceptions in the media regarding LDS teachings, and they are hoping to correct those misconceptions. If you have missed the last few shows, I might want to mention here that you can catch them in our the archives are listed on our website, mrm.org. Just go there and you can listen to not only this past week, but you can listen to all our broadcasts up until this point. But anyway, Eric, this idea of defending your faith is certainly something that we don't disagree with. We need to make that statement again. But we wonder sometimes, will a Mormon group or a Mormon individual, oftentimes, will they actually portray their faith in a very candid, open way? And we have found in the past that that is not always the case, that many times some of these apologists and some of these bloggers and will not tell the whole truth, and they will actually spin what Mormons believe. And this has always been a problem I have found with Mormonism. They have a credibility problem because they are not as candid about what they believe as they probably should be. And many times when a person finds out that, for instance, the missionaries haven't told them the whole story, this causes a lot of people to cancel their missionary lessons and feeling that they've been lied to, and they don't end up joining the Mormon church. So while that, I feel, is a good thing, we still think there needs to be a certain level of honesty when it comes to Mormons explaining what they believe.
Well, we know a friend of ours who lives here in Utah who became a Christian, and he traces it back to a time when he was a missionary sitting in a restaurant about ready to get this one person to be baptized into the church, and a friend of ours, Dick Baer, approached the table and just brought up a historical issue, and my friend said he was so angry about that, and it ended up costing him that convert, Bill.
That's right.
But he ended up making contact with Dick Baer this year and letting him know that I ended up becoming a Christian. Thank you for having the guts to tell the truth.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, one of the things in this article that was in the Deseret News back on August 4th, 2011, titled Mormon Defense League Launched, it says that this Mormon Defense League is going to have a website that's going to address common misconceptions, and they mentioned three of these misconceptions. We've actually talked about four this week. This will be the fourth one.
Yeah.
But they talk about the alleged magic underwear. We discussed that. They talk about Jesus is the brother of Satan, and they also talk about Mormons practicing polygamy. And that's what we're going to address in a nutshell. Now, please, folks, you've got to understand the subject of polygamy. When we tackle that on Viewpoint on Mormonism, it's probably going to take several days, because that is a huge topic, and there's many avenues that we can go down. But we want to just talk about this, because what we often hear when Mormons complain about misunderstandings of their faith, they always bring up this idea that it seems like everybody still believes that the Mormons are practicing plural marriage to this day. They don't, not the way it was practiced, at least in the 19th century. We're going to talk about that. They often want to make sure they are separated from what are known as fundamentalist Mormons, even though Gordon Hinckley did not like that term. He actually said there is no such thing as a Mormon fundamentalist. It is a contradiction to use the two words together, as if the Mormon Church in Salt Lake City has some kind of copyright on this title. But, of course, the polygamous people who hold to Joseph Smith and the Latter-day Saint faith, they certainly objected to his comment on that.
But we need to understand, Bill, for people who don't know very much about this issue, this was an official church teaching from 1843 when Joseph Smith first gives it until 1890 when the manifesto comes and they're told no longer to practice it. So during that time of close to 50 years, it's being practiced. Brigham Young said, Bill, in August of 1866, Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 269, the only men who become gods, even the sons of God, are those who enter into polygamy. And he also said in that same volume on, a little later, he said, I heard the revelation on polygamy and I believed it with all my heart and I know it is from God. I know that he revealed it from heaven. I know that it is true and understand the bearings of it and why it is. Do you think that we shall ever be admitted as a state into the union without denying the principle of polygamy? If we are not admitted until then, we shall never be admitted.
There was a lot of bravado prior to 1890, and I think it would be misleading to say that it actually ended in 1890, because it certainly didn't. Polygamy was still going on up until 1904, when the Mormon Church had to come out with the second manifesto, the one I affectionately call Now We Really Mean It manifesto, where they really started excommunicating people on a serious note. So.
And that can be shown in the book Mormon Polygamy by Von Wagner. If somebody doesn't believe what we're saying, because it did officially end in 1890, but it continued to be practiced very clearly historically.
Right. And again, most people think that the manifesto, as it is in the, at the end of the Doctrine and Covenants, is the actual revelation. It's not. It's more of a press release. I've never even seen the revelation that supposedly ended this. If anybody knows of that, boy, I'd be glad to see it. I'd like to look at it. But Wilford Woodruff, the same man who put his signature on that, who was the president at the time, said, if we were to do away with polygamy, it would only be one feather in the bird, one ordinance in the church and kingdom. Do away with that, then we must do away with prophets and apostles, with revelation and the gifts and graces of the gospel, and finally give up our religion altogether and turn sectarians and do as the world does, then all would be right. We just can't do that, Wilford Woodruff said. Now, again, it would be this man, this very man who just made that statement, who would be signing the manifesto a few years later. Now, definitely Mormons do not believe in living with more than one wife in plural marriage at this time. Gordon Hinckley made it very clear in a talk that he gave called We Are People, What People Are Asking About Us. This was in the Ensign magazine. You can find it in the November issue, 1998, page 71, where he said, if any of our members are found to be practicing plural marriage, they are excommunicated, the most serious penalty the church can impose. Not only are those so involved in direct violation of the civil law, they are in violation of the law of this church. So anyway, when I hear Mormons say that they no longer believe in polygamy, I don't think they're being totally honest, because certainly polygamy is something that is going to be practiced.
Well, even Bruce McConkie said in his book Mormon Doctrine on page 578, obviously the holy practice, he's referring to polygamy, will commence again after the second coming of the Son of Man and the ushering in of the millennium. And then he says on pages 578 and 579, plural marriage is not essential to salvation or exaltation. All who pretend or assume to engage in plural marriage in this day, when the one holding the keys has withdrawn the power of which they are performed, are guilty of gross wickedness. So while it's not for today, it is something, he says very clearly, he says obviously it will be continued on in the next life, in the celestial kingdom, for those Latter-day Saints who will attain that state.
So when you hear people like Gordon Hinckley make the comment that I quoted earlier, he's given the impression that somehow plural marriage is a dead issue in Mormonism. And that's how most people understand what he's saying. If you don't know all the other teachings surrounding this thing, like what we had just quoted from Bruce McConkie, you would very well take away that this is over with. It's no longer a part of Mormonism. So here's the question, Christian, that you need to ask when you're, if you ever got on this subject with your LDS friends. And again, this isn't a subject that I would probably bring up first and foremost. It would be something that I would probably bring up way later in the conversation, maybe days after, I don't know. But the question you should probably ask is not so much, does your church believe in polygamy today? You should ask, does your church still seal men to more than one woman today?
And that's in an eternal way.
Yes, because in sealing is something that takes place for time and eternity. And the reason I ask this is because the Mormon Church most certainly does seal men in the Mormon Church to more than one woman, and they believe firmly that they are going to be with that partner throughout eternity. I wrote an article, a little article in our update back in October of 2009, and it was titled, "And Kristen Makes Two, Quote, Eternal Companions." And I want to read it to you. Since it's very short, I don't need to paraphrase it. I'll just read it. And I comment how during a devotional address, Dallin Oaks gave at Brigham Young University on January 29, 2002, he spoke on the importance of waiting upon the Lord's timing. And in this speech, he spoke of his 9-year term as president of Brigham Young University and his 10-year term on the Utah Supreme Court. Oakes spoke of his plans to serve on the court for 20 years and then, at the age of 69, serve a mission with his wife, June. But those plans were interrupted when he was called instead to be an LDS apostle. Said Oaks, quoting, "Realizing then that the Lord had different plans and different timing than we had assumed, I resigned as a justice of the Supreme Court, but this was not the end of the important differences. When I was 66, my wife June died of cancer. 2 years later, I married Kristen McMain, the eternal companion who now stands at my side." Question, did you catch what he said? June Dixon was sealed to Dallin Oaks in the Salt Lake Temple on June 24, 1952. After her death in 1998, Dallin Oaks was sealed in marriage to Kristen M. McMain on August 25, 2000, also in the Salt Lake Temple. According to LDS doctrine, Oaks is going to be married to both women in the hereafter, hence his use of the phrase, "the eternal companion who now stands at my side." Now, Oaks is not the only Mormon apostle that has done this. L. Tom Perry, Russell M. Nelson, currently serving as apostles in the Mormon Church, were also widowers who remarried in the temple and sealed for time and eternity to their present wives. So, what we have here is that we have a tweaking of how polygamy is understood. True, Mormons do not believe it's right to be married or living with more than one living woman, but they do believe that they can be sealed to other women and have the full hope of being married with them throughout time and eternity. So polygamy is not a dead issue, and I wish Mormons would be a little more clear when they start talking about this subject and let people know that they have redefined, as they have so many terms, they have redefined what plural marriage really is in a Mormon context.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.